With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
I'm the dude, so that's what you call me.
Are you a virgin?
Yeah, not since I was 10.
Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
Come out to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here, this is the war room.
Can I return it if it doesn't fit?
It always fits. Eventually.
George Michael, I'd love for you to come with me when I cut the ribbon at the new house.
Oh, wow. Hey, can I bring Anne?
Who?
Anne. You know, she's the girl I'm kind of hanging out with.
I haven't met Anne.
Yes, you have. That's her right over there.
Oh, Anne. Yes. Anne. I know Anne. Hey, that's you.
It. Are you okay?
I don't feel so good.
You know, I kind of want to buy her a diamond.
Her?
Welcome back to Movie Mingle. I'm Caveman.
And I'm her. Oh, I'm sorry. Maggie.
Samantha?
Samantha?
And we're here. And we're doing Her.
Her?
From 2013.
Egg?
It's going to be a lot of that.
It's going to be a lot of that, yeah.
Yeah, this is episode 59 now. We just watched Her. This was my second time watching Her.
My first time.
Maggie's first time.
Yeah.
Her was directed by Spike Jonze.
So it was pretentious.
Just a little bit. He's not always pretentious.
A little pretentious.
No,
a little hipstery pretentious.
Sure, he's a little hipstery.
More than the fucking this movie is a hipster's. We'll get into it.
But not any more than like Wes Anderson's.
And Wes Anderson is not pretentious.
It can come off as pretentious.
Some of his stuff, but it's not nearly as pretentious as like Spike Jonze shit or fucking Sofia Coppola. That bitch is pretentious.
Well, Spike Jonze has mostly directed music videos the majority of his life. The ones that he did the most of in the early 90s was for the Beastie Boys. So that's where a lot of my Spike Jonze fandom comes from.
He did a lot of stuff with the Jackass Boys, too.
He co-created it with...
Oh, seriously?
He was the one of the three co-creators between him... Johnny Knoxville and Jeff Tremaine,
mm-hmm.
who Jeff Tremaine is the director of most of the Jackass show episodes. And
so then I guess I can say that I did enjoy at least something that Spike Jonze
Spike Jonze has been a part of.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's not true. I really like Adaptation. That was a film that I really enjoyed. I haven't seen Being John Malkovich. I didn't enjoy Where the Wild Things Are. I enjoyed the trailer for Where the Wild Things Are. But the movie itself was...
The trailer for The Wild Things Are was just perfect.
It was perfect.
It's almost all you need because the book itself is like 3 pages long.
Yeah, so the trailer is...
The trailer is like the movie version of this short book.
And then once you get into the movie itself, it's just like, ugh!
Like, this is the direction they chose to go for The Wild Thing, where The Wild Things Are. They could have come up with 1,000 different ideas, and the one that they landed on did not jive with you and me at all.
And
we were excited about it too.
The trailer was
also put to the music of Arcade Fire.
Yeah,
I believe it was Wake Up off of their Funeral album that was used.
It was a very pretty song.
It was, yeah. And I have one album of theirs called Neon Bible. The Suburbs is also a really good one.
I guess I've never really listened to their music outside of like trailers and movies and their popular songs on the radio that I tend to tune out because I don't listen to the radio. Fuck it. I have nothing to lose. This podcast has taught me that there's a lot of things I've judged for with my own sort of like psychotic, like judgmental, bitchy ways that I've turned around and been like, oh, that's actually not that bad.
Cinematography
was done
once
by
again
a little known man who's never done anything before.
We've never talked about him before. We have no opinion on his work,
none whatsoever, or his name.
Hoyt Van Hoytma, I think is how you pronounce it.
Our beloved, we You know what? It's really funny. I was talking with friends yesterday about this movie, and I was sharing with them my opinion of it. And so I brought up Hoyt Van Hoytma, and I was like, he's kind of like our favorite. We talk about him all the time now. Between Hoyt Van Hoytma and the guy who did Oppenheimer and all the other stuff for... Hoyt Van Hoytma did do Oppenheimer. Who is the original Christopher Nolan... cinematographer that did a bunch of stuff with him.
Was it Wally Pfister? No, that's...
Pfister? No,
that's Dune 1 and 2.
Oh.
That's
that. Maybe I was thinking of Pfister, because we've talked about Pfister a lot. But it is very funny how Hoyt Van Hoytma has sort of... He's done so many of these movies that we have watched, and he really has become beloved to us in a weird way that we're just like, fuck, this guy is, like... our cinematographer, and I cannot wait to see The Odyssey, because I know he's gonna fucking, it's gonna be so beautiful. But yeah, fucking Hoyt Van Hoytma.
Wally Pfister.
It was Wally Pfister, yeah.
Wally Pfister was the
Pfister, other guy. I hardly know her.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I was talking to friends, I was like Hoyt Van Hoytma has become a thing in our house. He might be our favorite cinematographer.
He's a great,
and he just keeps popping up, and we love you, Hoyt Van Hoytma. We love you very much.
Oscar-winning cinematographer Hoyt Van Hoytma. Rotten Tomatoes has her at a 95% from critics.
Who?
Her?
Sorry, I'm not. I have to do it. It's going to be a thing. You should have seen his eye roll, listeners. It went so high up into his head.
And an 82% from audiences. Metascore has it at a 91 and 8 out of 10 from IMDb. The movie was made for $23 million. It made 26 domestically, 23 internationally, and another 7 million on home media for a total of 56.
I mean, it was made for 23?
Yeah.
So it doubled its budget.
It did, pretty much.
So...
it's overall a success for a...
It's a successful film for an
indie film.
But it's not great. I feel like this movie... I actually don't remember when people started talking about this movie. I don't know if it was
something... Are you saying this movie's not great?
I have opinions about this movie that we'll get to.
I'm sure you do.
But I wasn't saying... I'm not saying that...
Critics had it at 95%.
Great. And... critics didn't really like Tron Legacy, and I do, so like whatever. But
true.
No, I think that it's great that they doubled their budget, that they made their money back, but it wasn't like a big blockbuster hit.
Oh no.
This is a small film.
It is a small film. This is a little indie film that people went out and watched.
All the other movies that we've done, small indie films that haven't made a lot of money, have still made more than this. This is one of our lowest grossing films? Off the top of my head?
On this list, yes.
Pride and Prejudice made more money than
this. We have some bonus episodes that are definitely didn't do as well or critically as well or even audiences.
Well, Hugh and Ned Divine didn't make a whole lot of money, but I think it made more than this.
But as far as the movies off of these top 75 that we're doing, I believe her probably is one of the least money-making movies.
Yeah.
So far, I don't know if there's another one coming up that we might.
I don't know how much Puss in Boots made, but
I think Puss in Boots, we'll find out. But yeah, I think Puss in Boots did well. I think because critics and word of mouth, I think Puss in Boots did better than we all think it did. Her won 83 awards, including one Oscar for Best Original Screenplay. It was up against American Hustle, Blue Jasmine, Dallas Buyers Club, and Nebraska.
Nebraska?
Yeah, I don't remember Nebraska or Blue Jasmine.
No.
American Hustle and Dallas Buyers Club are the only ones I remember.
I'm shocked that Dallas Buyers Club didn't get it, because that was kind of like the darling of the year.
It was. You're right. It was nominated for Best Picture, but lost to 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, that's a hard one to beat.
Yeah, I mean, the other nominees were American Hustle, Captain Phillips.
I am the captain, though.
Dallas Buyers Club, which I think a lot of people thought. I think that and 12 Years a Slave were like the two.
Yeah, the two that were going up against it, yeah.
Yeah, and then Gravity, which
I've never seen.
I don't even know. It's not great. I don't care for it. I know people like it, but not my thing.
The only thing I remember about Gravity is the joke that Amy Poehler and Tina Fey made about it at the Golden Globes, where they said that
it's the story of how George Clooney would rather float away into space and die than spend one more minute with a woman his own age.
Nice.
That's the only thing I really like. Think when I think of Gravity, I think of that joke. Yeah.
Nebraska was nominated, and so was The Wolf of Wall Street. That was the year Wolf of Wall Street was nominated.
Fucking oh, yeah, that movie should have won.
And lastly, Philomena was another movie that was nominated, but I just don't
Philomena
remember.
Was a British Irish film about a woman who. Back in like the 50s, 60s, became a single woman who became pregnant, and the Catholic Church literally stole her child from her, because a lot of pregnant single women back in Britain and Ireland ended up, like, especially if they were Catholic, ended up having to basically go to convents to like hide their pregnancy and wait out their pregnancy, and the nuns would steal the babies. Tell them that the babies were dead, or convince the moms, these young, impressionable, terrified, lonely, sad women, that it would be better off if they gave the kid away. But they would literally, they'd be like, your kid died. And then they would, but in reality, the kid was put into an orphanage and shipped off to America. And it happened a lot. So Philomena is a movie about a woman, I think Judi Dench, but not 100% sure, who this, and it's a true story, this happened to her, and she goes looking for her son that was stolen from her with the help of Steve Coogan, and then it turns out that the son's dead.
Damn,
yeah. Spoilers. But it's one of those, like, bummer movies, but...
but probably really,
yeah,
like, well done.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to be nominated for Best Picture, of course, probably was...
Nebraska,
convincing.
On the other hand, stars Bruce Dern, Will Forte, Bob Odenkirk, and June Squibb.
What?
Yeah. And
what a cast.
It's about a cantankerous old buzzard, Bruce Dern, who can barely walk down the street in his home as Billy Montana without stopping for a drink. So when Woody receives a sweepstakes notice in the mail and insists on making the 750-mile trip to Lincoln, Nebraska to collect his prize, it falls to baffled son David, Will Forte, to accompany him. And so it's a drama it's a drama road movie starring Bruce Dern and Will Forte.
I would never have been able to tell you that Will Forte was in an Academy Award-nominated film for Best Picture.
Yeah. And what a
the
weird
fact that it
cast
was with Will,
too.
Yeah, with Bruce Dern, who I love. But.
Yeah, like Bruce Dern and June Squibb makes sense that they'd be in an Oscar-nominated film. Bob Odenkirk makes a little more sense than Will Forte.
I love Will Forte,
but I would have never said, I could not have told you that he was in a movie that was nominated for an Oscar.
Great actor, but yeah, Will Forte is definitely the. It, you know what? I might have to watch it just to see what that performance is like.
Stacey Keach is in it too. Yeah, no, it might it might be an interesting one. It
might be worth
it. Got a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
The music for Her.
Who?
Her.
It was nominated for Best Music and for Best Original Song. It was The Moon Song, which I believe
the one that they write together.
That they write that she writes for him, or that, or yeah,
that
they're
duet.
They
write together.
Yeah, they sing. Yeah, but it lost to Frozen's Let It Go.
Of course it did. The fucking behemoth that is Let It Go. One of my favorite parts of Frozen 2 is when she sees when she's in the ice cave and she sees
she's
all those old things.
She's embarrassed.
And she's embarrassed by
by the song.
I think it's so cute. She's just like, oh God.
That was an awkward moment in my life. But it did win a Critics' Choice Award for Best Picture.
Great.
So I like showing what artists getting awards for all their hard work, because even if you don't like a movie, the people in the background, the people working behind the scenes, I think they're still working hard and they're still doing a great job. And I love artists being artistic, and when they are given awards for being
artistic,
or for, you know, being the better artist than another person or another four, next time Hoyt Van Hoytema is like nominated for a movie,
yeah,
compared to other cinematographers,
we're going to be rooting for
I'm
Hoyt.
I'm going to be rooting for him because I know who he is now. Yeah. And I'm just like, I gotta root for the guy, even if somebody else wins. Now I understand.
You have a favorite cinematographer, and that's
I do.
Cute.
It,
is it Hoyt Van Hoytema, or would it be somebody else?
He's probably in my like top five.
Top
five, yeah. To top eight. You know, like, I have a handful of cinematographers that I'm always...
Make me a list.
Of my favorite cinematographers.
I want to know who your top five favorite cinematographers are. You don't have to do it right now, but just make me a list.
Oh, I could come up with a list.
I'm sure you could.
So the cast for Her is, first we've got Joaquin Phoenix.
Yep, he's there.
Man, I wish you'd give Joaquin Phoenix a little bit more of a chance.
I can't. I don't know. I'm so annoyed.
I don't know why
he's really
annoyed.
Good,
like,
in something, but then I see him and I hate his face.
But I
hate his face.
But he's enjoyable to watch.
I know. He's a great actor, but I just, there's something about him that I dislike so much.
Is it like his past?
Yeah, or? Well, it was the whole him pretending to be a rapper thing.
Yeah,
I don't know why that murdered him for me, but it really did.
I don't know why, because
point,
everybody else was fine with it, even Letterman.
I don't know. I just, it came across as such a dick move.
I know.
To me, I was like, fuck this dude.
It was
and
more
I've
of a
never,
joke towards
I know.
The audience.
I really understand. I haven't even seen the movie, but I do kind of understand what it is now. But that immediate knee-jerk reaction of like, fuck this guy, what
no,
an asshole, has never gone away.
I think for me, it was like, he has redeemed himself since then. And because he's not, you know, on the set of Gladiator, he was constantly high on, you know, whatever drug he was taking.
He was?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and, yeah, I guess if you watch that role, yeah.
And, you know, since then, he has cleaned up and he has been in some really amazing roles.
Yeah.
Throughout his career.
But I just
and,
I,
no, and I
don't
get it.
Like him.
And I think for some people it's like Tom Cruise, you know, he really annoys you to the core, and then you think that you've fallen out of love with him if you happen to be into him in the 80s and 90s like I was. And you fall out of love with him because he's just starting to act a little weird, allegedly.
No, he acted weird. We all saw him jumping on that couch.
I don't want to get sued by Tom Cruise.
He was fucking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
But he redeemed himself.
Yes, he has.
He has done some...
But here's the thing. I actually never really liked Tom Cruise until his redemption. The entire time Tom Cruise was out there being like just this cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs psycho,
but what about,
I was just sort of like...
Were you not into like 80s Tom Cruise?
Not really.
None of his movies?
Not really.
Interest you at all?
No. I was a little girl caveman.
So was I,
but
I still got into his
80s
movies.
But I don't know. I didn't care as much because like he wasn't in movies that I necessarily cared about. The first movie he was in.
Like, you like Vampire.
I don't like Interview with the
Vampire.
You
don't like Interview with the Vampire
like
at all?
No, I don't like that movie at all.
I thought you liked that movie.
The show.
Well, yeah, the show.
The show's fucking.
It. What's the vampire movie that you really like? Not the comedy one.
John Carpenter's Vampires? Or Dracula 2000?
Yeah, that's still leaning towards comedy for me.
That's really only those two. Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that you liked Interview.
The show was...
I know you're in love with the show.
Phenomenal. And yeah. I haven't seen season two yet, and I really am dying to. But the movie itself, I always found to be weird, and I didn't think that Pitt and Cruise had chemistry at all. Like, and then I didn't like... Kirsten
Dunst.
Thank you. As the little girl. Like, I just, like, all around that movie, I just didn't, I've never really liked that film.
I like that movie.
But the show is phenomenally good. And I also I haven't found a lot of Anne Rice's stuff that I've connected with. I've tried. I've read a couple of the books. Jesse made me read a couple of the books while we were in Switzerland together. It was all fine, but it was never really my thing. Vampires aren't really my thing, but I don't like people touching my neck, so.
Well, bringing all this back to my point was, personally, I think Joaquin Phoenix has redeemed himself in that way where I've seen enough of his movies where I, in a way, forgive him for past aggressions.
Kind of I haven't seen. I'm not there yet. I'm always annoyed when I see a good Joaquin Phoenix performance because I'm like, son of a bitch. Because like I loved him in The Village and Signs and Quills, but there was some after he pulled that I'm still here thing. I don't know what it was, but it just cursed him for me.
And I liked him in Walk the Line.
I didn't care much for Walk the Line. No. I was so bored by it. If I want to watch Walk the Line, I'm going to watch Walk Hard.
Walk Hard.
And just be happier than I'm watching Walk Hard, The Legend of Dewey Cox. Walking
Road. And of course, you and I love Joaquin Phoenix in Joker 1. And we
hated that we liked it in Joker 2.
And we're like the only ones who like Joker 2.
Which is shocking to us as much as it is to you guys. Yeah.
We can't believe it.
Joaquin Phoenix's real name is Joaquin Bottom. His last name is Bottom.
Is the whole Phoenix family Bottom?
I think so.
River Phoenix was
River Bottom.
Oh my God, River Bottom.
Rain Bottom. Rain Summer Bottom. Liberty Bottom. Liberty Bottom is a gay bar in D.C., and you and I both know that. I don't know. His mother was Arlen Phoenix, and his father was John Lee Bottom. So it is very possible that the whole Phoenix acting clan are actually Bottoms.
Bottoms by their father's side, but Phoenix on their mother's side.
Yeah.
So they chose Phoenix for their acting
Wouldn't
career.
You?
Between Phoenix and Bottom. Yeah, absolutely. Go with Phoenix.
Hello, I'm Maggie Bottom. And I do. Hey. That would be the joke.
Oh.
That would be the joke. Also, he's only 5'8". I don't think I ever
Which is why he played...
Napoleon,
yeah.
You know, I don't think I ever really got, like, short guy energy off of him. But now that I know he's 5'8", it makes a lot of sense. It makes actually too much sense. Because there was always something about him that I didn't quite get. And it's short guy energy.
Next, we've got Amy Adams playing Amy.
Fucking God, I love Amy Adams. Amy Adams.
I don't think I'm ever upset about seeing Amy Adams.
I'm never unhappy to see Amy Adams in anything.
I mean, one of my favorite Amy Adams performances was probably in The Muppets, but that's...
She's great in The Muppets. Enchanted.
Oh, of course,
Enchanted. Fucking... I know that we're going to talk about her eventually in Arrival, but I don't think we have up to this point had a chance to talk about Amy Adams. She's Darlene in Night at the Museum 2. One of... The few things that's good about Leap Year.
We recently saw her in Night Bitch.
Night Bitch was a fun
movie. That was a good movie.
Yeah. She's got a short role in Drop Dead Gorgeous, which honestly we need to do a bonus episode on. That movie is incredible.
And I feel like it's an underrated.
It is so underrated.
Yeah.
Amy Adams is delightful in everything she does. I'm never unhappy to see her. She deserves the world and so many awards. And I'm actually excited about Arrival. I know it's going to be a sad one.
You'll like her in Arrival. Yeah.
But she's great. I love Enchanted so much. I didn't watch Disenchanted because it felt, I don't know, like a lot of people were like, it just took Enchanted and turned it on its head and kind of ruined it. And I was like, I don't want that.
What did you think of her as Lois Lane?
I didn't hate it. I didn't.
It's one of the least things that I have issues with.
Their chemistry was okay, like her and Cavill, which is shocking that anybody could have just okay chemistry with Henry Cavill.
It was okay.
But it wasn't great, but it was okay. It was there, at least.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I feel like there's more chemistry between, and I'm just from the trailer, I feel like there's more chemistry between Rachel Brosnahan and whatever the fuck his name is that plays...
David Cornsweet?
Yeah, you know, in the upcoming one. But for her, Lois Lane, it was fine in Man of Steel. It was horrific in the Justice League. You know what? Again, I'm never unhappy to see her.
His mother's name is Martha.
I'm never unhappy to see Amy Adams. So even seeing her as Lois Lane, I'm like, boom, kadookie, sure. And she was in Dear Evan Hansen, so.
Oh, yeah. She was in Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
She was the woman that he was pretending to marry. Or was it just about to marry and then bailed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of her very first roles, too.
Yeah, of, like, knowing who she was.
Yeah.
Talladega Nights probably helped.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't my favorite Will Ferrell movie. People fucking love Talladega Nights, and they quote it endlessly, and I'm always like, it's fine.
It's that and Step Brothers, and I don't know why they've gravitated towards those two, and I'm like, really? Of everything he's done, Step Brothers and...
And honestly, I think that people are associating those movies with Will Ferrell, but the reality is that John C. Reilly is what kills both of those movies. John C. Reilly is the best part about Step Brothers.
He's the best part of the two of them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the better actor.
I would much rather have John C. Reilly than Will Ferrell.
Which is why he was picked for that basketball
show. So, but like, I don't know, when it comes to Will Ferrell movies, like, I actually really like the ice skating one because it was so fucking stupid, but, you know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Amy Adams. We love you.
Scarlett Johansson.
One of my favorite roles, Scarlett Johansson roles, because she was heard but not seen.
Damn. Man.
I'm also not a huge Scarlett Johansson.
What's wrong, Scarlett Johansson?
There's something about her face that annoys me.
Aww.
And to be fair, I don't dislike her in The Avengers, but I don't like her in anything that's not The Avengers. Does that make sense? Like, I love her as Black Widow, and I don't think anybody else could have been Black Widow. I love her in, we've talked a lot about Captain America and the Winter Soldier, but that was the best Black Widow for me. I loved her in that movie. But the rest of her stuff, I'm sort of like, meh.
I mean, she's been acting since she was a kid.
Yeah.
She was originally in the movie North with
Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood.
Damn. Fucking so many people have been in North.
Just Cause with
Sean Connery,
yeah. And then The Horse Whisperer, I think, is the one that really, like, made her a household name.
This is interesting. She is credited on Google under Scarlett Johansson movies, Thunderbolts.
Oh, interesting.
So I wonder if maybe it's a flashback scene, yeah, or like, sure, something that had that was already
Which
filmed.
Is interesting, because I didn't think she'd ever work for Disney again.
It was like something that has already been filmed, and so they've just reusing some footage. Yeah. But that is interesting. I remember watching The Horse Whisperer with my mom and my step-grandmother, who was a horse girl that never got to own horses, but she was still an obsessed horse girl, and she cried the entire movie.
Yeah.
She sat down in that theater, it started, my step-grandma starts fucking sobbing, and my mom and I the whole time were like, what do we do? Is this what the fuck? So, yeah. Looking through her movies, there are a handful of her films that I'm just sort of like, I didn't hate them, but I don't love them. Okay, she's in The Prestige. She's not the best part of The Prestige.
No,
I do not think of her when she's in. I don't think of her when I think of The Prestige.
No, she's not.
We'll get to my opinions on Jojo Rabbit.
Lost in Translation came out 5 years after The Horse Whisperer.
So goddamn much.
Which I don't understand.
It was so boring. It was uncomfortable. Boring. And it was pretentious because it's a Sofia Coppola movie. It's fucking pretentious.
I think The Island was probably the first time I saw her in something where I was just like,
that's the one with Ewan McGregor, like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Michael Bay film.
Yeah.
It's super Michael Bay. It's so much. You know how we watched
fucking Timeline?
Timeline. Do you know how much fun The Island would be?
Well, let's do it. I'm down, because I remember vaguely liking it when I saw it in theater.
It's a fun, like, it's
2005.
A popcorn.
Oh, God. It was so long ago.
You're going to have young Ewan, young Scarlett.
Oh, you like Ewan McGregor.
Young,
you know what?
Sean Bean.
Oh,
is
Beanie
in it.
Bean.
Yeah.
Beanie Baby.
I don't think he dies. This is one of the movies where he doesn't die.
Spoilers. I will say that Fly Me to the Moon looked cute. We just haven't watched
it
yet.
We haven't watched it.
But it looked cute.
You're right. Yeah.
And that's sort of what I like her in. But like Jurassic World, I could not care less that she is in that movie. I could not care less about that movie, but she is not a selling point for me for that movie.
She's not the selling point. I think just the Jurassic Park name is probably what's going to put me in the seat when it comes out, because I'm going to see it because that's what I do. Jurassic Park movie comes out, I'm buying a ticket.
Yeah.
Well, you can
tell me how it is.
I will.
I don't want to waste my time on Jurassic World.
She was fine in We Bought a Zoo.
I don't remember her at all.
Her and Matt Damon, I thought, had good chemistry.
I don't remember her at all in We Bought a Zoo.
One of my favorite movies with her.
Yeah.
Under the Skin. It's not a movie for everybody. So.
Don't you own like the script to that or something? Isn't that an A24 film that you're
it's
like?
It's a script that I want.
Oh, gotcha.
They have a script book in their online store, and I want it. I have the Midsommar one, and it's beautiful, and Under the Skin looks just as beautiful. Anyway, Jonathan Glazer, Oscar-winning director of Zone of Interest, directed Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson, and it's not a movie for everybody. It's surreal, but also just nutty.
I will just say, when it comes to Scarlett Johansson, is that she's never the selling point of a movie for me, ever. I'm never watching a trailer and I'm like, no, oh, Scarlett Johansson's in it? Sure.
Oh, Scarlett Johansson's in this movie? Like, let's buy a ticket right now.
Literally going through her list of films that she has made outside of the Avengers stuff. There's not a film that I'm like,
outside of the Avengers. Actually, I went and watched Ghost in the Shell, but that wasn't really because of Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
It was because of the title, because I like the anime.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to know.
Yeah, how bad it was.
How bad it was. And it was bad, but I still liked it for a reason. Oh, they whitewashed the shit out of it.
Yeah. Also, I remember when she was married to Ryan Reynolds, and I always just thought that was so fucking weird.
She was married?
They were married.
For how long?
3 years.
I mean, we'll talk about her more, about her performance in Jojo Rabbit when we do the Jojo Rabbit episode. Rooney Mara, who...
Yeah, another one of my least favorite human beings.
We talked about her for a second when we did Social Network. She's back in Her as his ex-girlfriend.
And they are married in real life and have children together, which is somehow yet another reason why I don't like Joaquin Phoenix.
Because he...
Because I really don't like Rooney Mara.
Because he had relations with Rooney Mara?
They're married. More than relations. We don't have relations. We're married. There is not a Rooney Mara movie that I like. As I've never liked her. There's something about her face that makes me
Did
kind
you not
of...
even care for her performance in Her?
No.
Like even her short little...
Nope.
Because you said you didn't mind her in The Social Network.
Because she was so very anti-her. But I didn't really necessarily like The Social Network either.
Well, I know you didn't like the movie, but you
yeah,
said
I
you
didn't,
really didn't have
I
any problem with her.
I didn't dislike her in The Social Network, but she was in it for 6 seconds, and I don't know, I guess I kind of felt for her character. But
you didn't feel for her character
no,
being with Theodore?
No. And it'll make sense once I actually get into my dislike about this movie.
Oh.
But I there's not a room, again, she is not the person that if I hear she's in a movie, I'm like, ooh, or excited at all. I haven't seen Carol kind of because of her. And I just, yeah, like there's something, she just seems really kind of bitchy. I don't know. Maybe she's not, she could be the nicest person on this planet, but I don't like her. And it's okay because we all, as human beings, have actors or singers or whomever, people in pop culture and celebrities that we just genuinely dislike for really no reason or really like obscure and dumb reasons. You have them. I have them. Our listeners have them. She's one of them for me. I just do not like her.
Her?
And that's just that. It's just that, you know? She's never going to win me over. And if she does, I will be very shocked.
Well, we've got Chris Pratt as Paul.
I was so shocked that Pratt was in this. I was so shocked. And I loved Chris Pratt on Parks and Rec. I love Pratt as Star-Lord. I have not I don't necessarily enjoy Pratt as a human being these days because he's real, like, really conservative, really new age Christian, and it's annoying. I'm just gonna say it's annoying. And like, he's definitely kind of gone off the deep end a little bit with his new big tooth wife, and like, I just, her teeth are massive.
I think you fell out of love with Chris Pratt when him and
Anna Faris broke up. Not necessarily, because I feel like that was a very amicable divorce. It was sad because I really liked them together, but I felt like it was a very amicable divorce. I think for me, honestly, it was when he started to be in everything.
Well, because he was the hit guy,
yeah.
Like they do with any actor. Like,
yeah,
you
they
start being
shoved
the hit.
Him down our throat, and like then they're like, oh,
some,
he's Mario, he's Garfield.
I'm worried for Pedro Pascal because he is getting more and more popular, and he's starting to be in so much stuff.
Yeah, but
I'm just worried for him because I've seen it before.
But he seems like a pretty genuine
dude.
He
seems like a genuine and charming guy. And
yeah.
I hope his career continues.
Whereas Pratt was genuine and charming, and then he was born again, and then he got kind of awful.
Well, and he...
Like, you know when you have a friend that gets born again, and then they get awful? And you're just like, oh, shit.
He's also starting to pick some, like, really terrible movies to be in.
He has not been in a lot of great films.
Like, I watched... 1 hour and 5 minutes out of 2 hours of The Electric State, that new...
I thought we were going to watch that together.
Oh, were we?
Is it that bad?
It's not great.
Oh, boy. My coworker liked it a lot. And I've heard that there are some cameos, but I don't know who they are because I was like, oh, I'll have to wait to watch them. But it's not good, huh?
There are moments where I'm like, okay, this is fine.
Yeah,
but it seems very cookie cutter Netflix action movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot of difference between the Chris Pratt movie he's doing here.
Yeah,
since he's in this one.
Oh, and then the one he did on Amazon Prime,
the Tomorrow War or whatever. Yeah. It just seems like okay. Here's another Chris Pratt performance where he's acting like Chris Pratt.
Yeah, you know what it was for me? I think it was around the time that Passengers came out that I was like,
sure.
I'm sort of done with you.
And that's not his fault.
No.
I mean, maybe his agent's fault, but it was a bad overall. Just a bad.
I didn't hate him in The Magnificent Seven. And then, like, you know, like the Lego movie was cute. Like, yeah,
the first Jurassic World was
the first Jurassic World is pretty great. We liked him in movie 43, even though nobody should have liked movie 43. He is in a movie with Oscar Isaac called 10 Years. I was shocked to see him in Her, but I was kind of happy because I liked his character to an extent.
It was a great character.
Yeah.
And he did a great job with that character.
Yeah. He's been the same role.
He's doing the same thing.
Like,
the difference between his character in the Tomorrow War versus...
Electric State
yeah. versus Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't see a lot of differences between these characters.
Well, I think even
Jurassic World.
He even recently was like, yeah, I kind of play a lot of the same characters, which is a shame because Andy Dwyer
is the perfect character. He's nothing like these guys.
No, and he's...
So he can do it.
Yeah.
But he's been pigeonholed into these roles.
Yeah. Before we cut down on the cast, I would like to bring up Olivia Wilde. Who I didn't know was in this film.
Olivia Wilde makes an appearance.
Yeah, she was a lot. I mean, not as much time as Pratt, but almost. But she was... I enjoy Olivia Wilde a lot.
Yeah.
I like her a lot. And then also Matt Leshter, who played Charles, the Amy's husband.
Oh, yeah.
And
he wasn't in it very long either.
No, he wasn't. But this is a character actor who's been in shit forever. Just forever. I mean, this guy has done... television, he's done movies, he was in The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. What else is he? He's been in Castle, he was in Kingsman, The Golden Circle, Boardwalk Empire. Like, this man is a character actor. And
The Mask of Zorro.
I'm never unhappy to see him when he's in something. And so I was happy to see him in this. Even though, like, the second his character opened his mouth, I was like, oh, this guy sucks so much. Like, what a dick this dude is. I hope him and Amy break up. But he's so delightfully good at just being him. And I really enjoyed him.
Oh, he's Ebor Thawne.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
He's Ebor Thawne in Flash.
Yeah, fucking such a good run as the villain. Yeah. Like, the main villain.
The best villain. Like, I didn't watch that whole series because it got ridiculous. I watched highlights occasionally, and it just got more and more ridiculous. Ebor Thawne was the best villain on that show, and that show had some great episodes.
God, the Flash, like, 3 seasons of The Flash.
The Flash
were
had
so
some
good.
Amazing. The best episode of The Flash for me is still
the one Kevin Smith directed.
That is a good one.
That's a fucking good one. The first one.
I was going to say one of their best episodes isn't even on the Flash series. It's on. It had a crossover with Arrow.
Yeah.
It introduced Barry Allen and then branched off into its own spin-off show after that episode.
Yeah, we were obsessed with The Flash the first, like, 3 seasons, and then we fell off of it.
It's because in the beginning, it really looked like the creators were putting their heart and everything into making it a great show. And, you know, after so many seasons, because it was on... I don't know how many seasons The Flash had.
A lot. Yeah, it, and then it, there were all the crossovers and all the nonsense. So many,
it was, and it got ridiculous. Yeah. You could tell the writers were running out of things.
Yeah. But they also fucking did, like, King Shark, and I will forever love them.
Oh, yeah, they're like, amazing things.
God damn it.
Over the lifetime of Flash. I don't know how we got off on a Flash tangent.
Well, because we were talking about Matt Lester, who I thoroughly enjoyed in this film. So, but, yeah, that's her. Who?
Her?
So let's get into her.
Let's get in. That's gross. What he said. Gross.
So Maggie, I gotta know.
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of this.
Okay. I gotta hear why.
I really liked the world that this movie is set in, and I'm fascinated by the technology, mainly how does it charge, because. Oh, I mean, my God, look, I'm just saying, as a person who's obsessed with the battery amount on all of her electronic devices at all times, I was very curious as to how these things charged, but that was my own, secondary thought. I liked the world. I liked the idea of this future, because it felt melancholy, but it felt hopeful. It didn't feel like the shitstorm we're headed into, you know? So, like, this world seemed like it was a different version of our world.
Yeah, it wasn't completely fucking, like Doomsday. I don't know,
Hillary won or something, but like...
It wasn't completely Doomsday, but it still seemed like it could be a Black Mirror episode.
It could.
Like a warning.
Yeah, because it didn't feel like a happy
didn't seem society. Like a super happy...
But there was some joy to
there
it.
There was joy to
but
it.
But I don't think we saw the happiness because Joaquin Phoenix's character is so unhappy for so long.
I think that AI did exactly what... It may have been intended for. Of course, you know, a little... My one gripe about this movie... Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie goes down a road at the very end that I was like, okay, I guess that's...
Oh, all of them, like, disappearing into a higher consciousness?
Yeah.
Yeah, that made no sense to me.
Why does this have to go here? Like, yeah. I liked it better as a way for him to heal and to also grow.
Yeah.
Because I don't
think... But they couldn't stay together. And they had to figure out
and
a way
it wasn't
to
meant whatever. To. See, and I feel like it wasn't meant to be.
But maybe it should have been his decision.
I don't think the relationship was. Well, I don't. I think humans get very comfortable in certain patterns and certain.
But he should have been able to be like, this served its purpose, and now I'm going to step
He's
away.
He's an addict, though. I feel like it's so easy.
So here's the thing. Okay.
I know.
I'm going to go back to my original point, which is I really liked the world that it existed in.
Okay.
I liked the technology. The costumes I found very weird because they were like, I could see how they were futuristic and also retro in the way that a lot of like fashion is always based on fashion of the past, right? It very rarely is new. It's very much like it's a rehashing of the
past with a little bit flair of the modern.
Yeah. And I like that like nobody ever wore belts, that all the pants were like perfectly tailored. The cinematography was beautiful, but. As a Southern Californian who knows the Los Angeles skyline, like, I could clearly tell when they were filming in Singapore. Because...
This film is filmed in
partially
Singapore?
Filmed in Singapore.
Why?
Because that city has a futuristic look. A futuristic LA look. Okay. So there are moments where he's walking around and it seems like a very futuristic version of LA. But then there are other parts where you see kind of like what I know to be a modern LA. Yeah, LA.
Everything's better in LA.
Says who?
People in LA.
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 Thank you. LA.
And so that bothered me a little bit, but it really kind of added to the futuristic side.
I was
going
to say, this is the point.
It.
It's supposed to be futuristic LA. Yeah. So, of course, it's going to have a futuristic look.
Yeah, but like I knew that that wasn't. I knew also knew that that was just Singapore.
You looked it up.
So, but even watching it, I was like, this is some Asian city. Like, I was looking in the background for Asian characters. So I was like, because this is not a real, this isn't an American city, but it looks American, so it's got to be an Asian
city. It was fun when you could recognize places that were actually shot there that you'd be like, I know where that is.
Yeah, like I know that building, I know that building. Like,
I want to,
the LA in us.
I want to say that beach scene, he was walking down Huntington Beach.
Could have been.
Because those smokestacks.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That was my clue that I was like, I wonder if that was shot near Huntington.
Could have been. But so, yeah, I like that. Basically, I liked everything but the characters. I hated all the characters.
You hated all of them?
No, maybe not all of them. I liked Amy. I felt for Amy. I would have preferred her story. I liked Pratt and his girlfriend. I thought that they had...
They were cute.
They were cute and they were fun.
So what did
But you I not, didn't like Joaquin Phoenix's
what
character.
Did you
I don't
like about
Theodore.
Him? Was it because of the way he...
He's just such a fucking 2010 hipster pussy.
But I think that's what he needed, is he needed the AI to be in his life. Because Rooney Mara's character was over that kind of guy.
I do not like, nor do I care about, nor do I champion 2010 hipster pussies. I could not stand them then.
Not even making them better as human beings?
I could not stand them then. I cannot stand them when they are still clutching to it now with an iron grip where we're all like, dude, it's 2025. Get over it. The hipster pussy man was never... I know. And this
Why
is,
are we calling this?
Because
this
that's what man. They were. That's what
Why?
They were.
Why?
They were just all so just...
Give me an example.
Milk toast sensitive bitches who thought that they deserved everything because they were white men, but they also didn't have like a spine, and they walked around with their mustaches and their like button-up shirts and their weird sweaters, and now they're the dudes that are out there fucking rolling around on
the Pacific Northwest.
I know, and I don't like that version of a man,
but I don't think those are the guys who are like clamoring to watch her.
No, they absolutely were.
You think those guys are?
The fucking hipster pussies from 2010? Absolutely. Absolutely. You asked. You were like, why don't you like them? Because I associate them with men that got tattoos of an old fashioned mustache on their finger so they could hold it up to their nose. That's what I associate that hipster pussy dude with. And I never really liked that man because they were always pretentious and they were always cruel and they were just posers.
I don't think that's Theodore.
Yeah, it is. He just mopes around. He's not in touch with his emotions. He doesn't know what he's doing.
No, and that
he is a bland, milquetoast, white, hipster pussy man.
That's why
and
Catherine leaves him.
All of these girls are fucking throwing themselves at him, and I do not get it.
That's why Catherine
leaves him.
Because
that is not an attractive
Samantha
man.
Samantha helps him to not be that way anymore.
Yeah, but I still didn't like him. I didn't like him as a character. I thought he was a pretentious little pussy. Because that's what I felt watching this movie, honey. That's what I felt, was just like I knew I worked with too many dudes like this at the Olive Garden, at all my other various jobs. I knew dudes like this that just walked around and were just like, all my problems are because women don't like me. And I'm like, actually, women don't like you because you've got the emotional intelligence and personality of a fly. And you're just a little pussy, like, nut up a little bit. And I'm not even all for the misogyny of it all. Like, I'm just saying, like, have some opinions, get into some, like, dirty shit, and just, like, just fucking branch out and grow, you hipster piece of shit. I knew too many guys like that. And so, of course, a dude like this would fall in love with an AI, and it would fucking piss me off, because I would have too if I didn't have you. If I was a sad, lonely LA girl, the way that fucking Joaquin Phoenix is a sad, lonely LA boy. And maybe that's it too. It's the sad LA lonely boy thing that I was just like, ugh. I don't empathize with that character. I don't see myself in that character. I just see people that I never liked in that character. And so, you know, I just didn't like him. I just didn't like him. I was just like, what a sad little bitch. And sure, he eventually finds happiness. But, you know, it's through an AI. And it annoys me because I would have fallen in love with an AI too if I didn't have you. I would be such a sad, lonely little bitch. Just like Joaquin Phoenix in this film. And this story does not speak to me.
What do you think of his username, Big Guy 4x4?
fucking, I literally, you know what, it's funny, because when I was looking at my notes, I didn't know why I wrote this down, but I wrote, big guy 4x4, ew. That's all. Just, ew. Ew. At least when we saw Novocaine, and I don't even remember what his thing was, but it made more sense for a Jack Quaid character than, you know, fucking big guy 4x4. You know whose username is big guy 4x4? A fucking MAGA Nazi. It's a dude who's all of his pictures, he's in wraparound sunglasses and a fucking camo shirt holding a fish and a gun.
His name is Ian.
And his name is Ian.
Fuck Ian.
He thinks that women are the root of all evil, but he's an asshole.
At first I thought that, like, having handwritten letters from other people was, like, lazy.
Fucking, I would work at that job. But I would be so good at that job. I was gonna say,
I bet you can write some goddamn really
I would like, be that. See, again, that letters. The world I liked. I want to work at that place.
That video game, that was fun. Like, being able to, like, that, be part of that video game.
It is interesting, yeah.
And, like, the AI character, like talking listening to the conversation, yeah, and talking back.
His little, like, his little finger movements, yeah, where you run by, like, making run little forward. T-Rex, like, yeah, a T-Rex jacking off or something. Like, it's
that's how a T-Rex jacks
if off? It's a female. I'm sorry for being particularly vulgar in this episode, guys.
So gross.
But this movie, anyways, the video game was neat,
but I could see my point about the handwritten letters was that I could see a company like that actually existing.
Yeah. And I would be so fucking good at it. I would be so good.
The fact that it doesn't exist.
I know. It's pretty shocking, actually. Like, and it probably will one day.
Seems like a great idea, but yeah, maybe.
Especially because the letters weren't even handwritten. They were written on computer.
The computer handwrote
them.
The
computer handwrote them. It just was.
Hands.
So, in other words, it's
and
just.
And didn't write. It was just printed.
In different fonts.
In fonts.
Yeah.
And cursive font.
Yeah, yeah. But, and I also thought this very odd that they just all talk out loud all the time.
Well,
but there was never like a text. But there was never a microphone or like anything anywhere. Like, I mean, if I were to sit from this.
Technology is much better,
yeah,
in this world.
Yeah, no. And see, that's why I was fascinated
that's
by the technology.
LA
in this
looks
world.
Like Singapore.
Yeah, LA. But I. Yeah, see, it was the world that I liked. It was the characters that I didn't like. I would love to see more of that world, but I don't care about Theo and his bitchy little problems.
Something that I could relate to
what?
Was when him and Samantha went out in public and people watched. I love going out and just watching people and thinking about what they're thinking or what they're doing or what...
You love people watching with me because I get do. Into it.
Well, yeah, because you create these stories,
yeah,
based on like what they
yeah
look like, what how they're dressed. You know, it's a lot of judging.
Mm-hmm. It's not. I'm not that mean.
No, not in a mean way. I'm just saying you're taking the way that they look.
And yeah,
how they're,
no, yeah.
Where they're, what store they might go into, what, you know,
how fun that was
who
to
they're
do at
with.
Disneyland.
Yeah,
that's so fucking fun.
It's a fun thing to do, especially when Disneyland's super crowded and
yeah, there's nothing else to do.
There's nothing fun to do because everything's crowded.
God, yeah, I liked how he like buttoned his shirt so that he could that weird cell phone or mini computer or whatever that thing was. But I like how he would put the little pin, the safety pin in his shirt so that it would prop up the phone so that
the camera
could look out
could look
through
out
his pocket.
So she could see.
Like, I liked that. I thought that was a really
so
neat
many
little thing.
Great little things.
Yeah, but I still didn't relate with it.
I think you saw who was in it
maybe,
and you saw who made it
maybe,
and you just decided not to like it.
Possibly. But it still didn't speak to me as romantic. It didn't speak to me as...
I don't
as,
think it's supposed to be...
So some people consider this a romantic movie.
Romantic, yes, in a way at the beginning. Towards the beginning, it's... But it's like Lost in Translation. It's not really... You're watching a relationship go through its steps, including all the way to the breakup. These are relationships in both those movies are relationships that
so here's
people
what I wrote
aren't,
down.
Aren't generally, you know, how do you look at a person? You know, we have AI right now in this world that we're living in.
No.
This movie came out almost 10 years ago.
It came out 12 years ago.
And there's a lot of stuff that's happening in this movie that I can very much see we're getting very close to. And in some ways, people do date
AI
chat.
I would 1,000% fall for an AI character. I know a dude that was essentially cheating on his girlfriend with an AI chatbot.
So, and this is something. No, that's what I'm saying. Totally, this is something that people already do.
I totally get it. But let me tell you what I wrote down. I wrote down, and I quote, "I guess I wish I was watching Lars and the Real Girl."
Okay. You know, that's a great point.
And Lars that's what and I. Because I.
Lars and the Real Girl is a fantastic movie.
Yeah. And I didn't go into this movie wanting to hate it. I have tried very hard. I have tried very hard to go into movies with a more open mind lately. And yeah, it doesn't always work. And I end up not liking the movies because they don't speak to me or they're not my personal cup of tea. I've at least tried. I went into Hereditary with an open mind. I went into The Godfather with an open mind. And look where it got us. I actually enjoyed it. I went into Her with an open mind and I found what I liked in it. And I found what I did not like in it. And I'm sorry that what I did not like is what you liked. But that's just because it didn't speak to me. Lars and the Real Girl was the movie I wish we had been watching. Not this. And yeah, it doesn't help that half the cast, literally more than half the cast, are people I kind of just genuinely am like, meh, over.
This one or Lars?
This one. Okay. Right? Like, I get it. I get that I have a bias walking into this film.
Walking.
I'm so angry at you right now, but I'm so proud of you right now. Like, I love you, you bastard. But, and I will give you this. Joaquin Phoenix does a good job because he's a good fucking actor. He's a good fucking actor, and he did a good fucking job in this movie, but I did not like that character. And that's okay. Not all art speaks to everyone, and this movie did not speak to me. I don't find it romantic. I don't find it theologically fascinating about the idea that AI could fall in love with a human or that a human can fall in love with an AI or an inanimate object. You want to watch a movie about human beings loving inanimate objects? There's a documentary out there about people that fuck their cars. And a woman that humps the Eiffel Tower.
Married the Eiffel Tower.
That is fascinating shit. That is, it is weirdly terrifying.
It's fascinating.
But it is fascinating. And I have more empathy for them than I did for these characters. And you know what? If you fall in love with an AI character, you're kind of fucking stupid. And I would do that. I would fall in love. I would have gotten one of these motherfuckers. I would have made it talk to me like Oscar Isaac. And you, sir, would have been fucked. Or I never met you and that became my life. But either way, I would totally fall for this shit. But I still didn't like these characters, nor did I empathize with their problems. Except for like Amy and Pratt. And that's it. So I'm sorry I don't like this film. But I don't.
So why are you okay with Amy's story and not?
Because Amy married a man that was probably at the beginning really kind to her, kind of probably love bombed her a lot, right? Showered her with love and affection, but then over the years got crueler and crueler when she was not living up to his expectations for her, and he nitpicked her. And he, you know, was passive aggressive with her because she wasn't good enough for him. But he wanted to make her better. And it just was never going to happen. And I'm proud of her for getting out of that situation. You know, for seeing how stupid it all was, right? Because when she's trying to talk about her art with Theo, and Charles, the husband, is like, not only is he putting her down, but he's also making her question her choices for her own artwork. And the second that happened, I was like, I cannot wait to watch her leave this dude. Mm. So that she can find her strength, start doing the things that she loves, and not have this fucking negative voice in her head all the time.
Like, she got free of that. When she's working on her editing her documentary. Yeah.
She wants to do a documentary about her mother.
Trying to show it off.
And
they're asking for it. And
he's like, well, why don't you do this instead? Yeah. I mean, he's just being such a dick.
She's got a specific vision. Yeah. And it's like, you want to support your
partner in their creative endeavors.
You want them to succeed in the direction that they see themselves mm-hmm. going. Even if it's just, I just have this vision for this thing and I want it to look like this and feel like this. And
But he was like, no.
He was like, no, this is the better idea. And it's like, well, but now it's not really what I'm going for.
And I wanted to see her be free of that, because I appreciate stories more about people who find their own inner strength and move away from the thing that is very toxic that's holding them back. Because I've had to do that in my life, and I'm still working on doing that in my life. And, you know, it's not a husband that's constantly questioning my choices and putting me down for them. It's a parent, but it's still something that I emotionally connect with. And so I was proud of her for leaving him, for just really finally getting that moment where she's just like, what the fuck am I doing? And then she decides to cut off this diseased arm that's dragging her down. And then what does that pretentious son of a bitch do? He goes and joins a fucking monk, a temple full of monks or something, and takes a vow of silence for 6 months. What a fucking douchey thing to do. That guy sucks.
No, she definitely.
And she was so lucky to be away from him.
Get out of that.
I liked the advice that she gave Theo. Mm. I liked that it never really made her like the other romantic interest.
Yeah, I'm happy for that too.
Right? Because I like their platonic relationship.
Any other movie could easily have just been like,
he would have like woken up and realized that she was his true love.
You're the one all along.
It was always you.
That was pretty much every 90s rom-com.
And like, don't think I don't love that shit. But I'm glad that they didn't take that path.
Right.
I felt more for her character because I empathize and related to her character more. And I didn't empathize or relate to Theo because not only is that, and it's not to say that I have to live the journey of every character I've ever seen, because like obviously I've never dragged a ring to Mordor, but I empathize and feel for Frodo. No, I didn't actually do that when I was a teenager. I told everybody I did, but I didn't. Man,
that's why I married you.
Well, sorry. Marriage over. I'm replacing you with an AI Oscar Isaac. But no.
It's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time.
I mean, even in this movie, they brought back an old
Alan Watts
writer.
Yeah.
And
whatever his name was. I don't think I got his name right. The world that this movie exists in fascinates me. And the technology and Amy's story. Like, all of that. I really enjoyed. But I can't help that I didn't like the main character.
Well, that's okay, but do you have to dislike the whole film just because you didn't like the main characters?
No, but I guess you could say I am ambivalent about the film.
Could you just enjoy the film for the story that it told?
No, because I probably don't think I would watch it again. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to at any point be sitting, you know, in front of a TV bored out of my mind.
What do you want to do tonight,
and
Maggie?
Think to myself, I'm going to give her another chance.
Let's give her one more chance.
Like, I just... Because, again, I just so strongly dislike the main characters.
Yeah. I personally...
As much as I enjoy the other stories, it's as much as I dislike the main story of this movie.
Personally, I ended up liking it better the second time.
I also want to bring up the crazy uncomfortable sex scenes that made my body cringe beyond comprehension. I did not enjoy those. Because things that are that fucking awkward Yeah. No, thank you. Not only them, like, having, like, essentially phone sex,
yeah, sure.
But then when she brought in the surrogate.
The surrogate was weird.
That shit is weird. And you know there totally would be a service for that.
But like,
and then when Samantha's like, well, I've been emailing her. And then the surrogate lady.
Samantha did a lot.
Yeah, she did a lot more than she should have. Because she connected with this woman for God knows how long. And that woman's like, but I love you guys. That woman was as invested in their relationship as they were. And they just threw her in a cab and sent her away. Like, what are the poor repercussions of that woman's life because of this encounter? She was willing to have sex with a stranger.
Yeah, just to...
While pretending to be a robot. That shit is weird.
Just be part of their relationship because you believed in the relationship.
Yeah. Like, that... Ugh.
Yeah, that's...
Just good.
Please see a therapist.
Please see so many therapists. But, yeah, so again, the world was fascinating. The main story was not. But it's beautifully shot, so I'd probably give it a 3.5. My gut says 3.5, because there are things that I liked so much about it, but there are things that I disliked so much about it. Yeah, for some reason, a 3.5 is what is kicking out to me. It's higher than I feel like it should be for my opinion of this movie, but it's what came out of my mouth, so I'm sticking with it. What about you, Dale?
Fair. I'm giving it a 4.
See?
Which I know isn't that much higher, and it's not like I'm like 4.5 or 5.
Then why are you up my ass so bad about
because
this?
Because I'm making a conversation.
That's fair. This is going to be a more fascinating episode. And I think that a lot of people
it's
like...
It's worth talking about. Yeah. It's worth like kind of dissecting and getting into about why...
What, I dislike something that people like so much.
Yeah, just trying to figure
it out. It is always fascinating. You know what? No, legitimately, it is kind of fascinating when you sit down with somebody and you're like, I'm sorry, you don't like Mr. Rogers? Why? Like, how and why? And then somebody has, like, just a solid argument about it. Like, oh, it's a this and a that and a that and this. And you have to be like, all right, I respect that.
Okay, I guess I can't really argue that.
Yeah, no, can't really argue with that. And you can, but it just kind of makes you an asshole.
No, I'm 4. Yeah, it's... I enjoy the movie.
Good.
I think it's a very interesting look into human psychology and sociology and how we strive and we just want somebody in our lives to be there. And it doesn't matter if it's physically or just... somebody to just get on Instagram or Facebook or whatever and just have conversations with people because you're
just
desperate
lonely.
For human interaction. And when the human interaction isn't working in person and AI doesn't judge, except she was a little judgy, but she was really, really good AI.
Yeah, but, no, that's pretty impeccable AI. Like, holy shit, Siri could never.
But, you know, and that's, I think that's another reason why some guys go towards, you know, like, sex chat rooms. Or, yeah, phone sex and stuff. Because it's a moment where you can just...
But it's not healthy. Because it creates unachievable ideals in women. And then when human women can't live up to that fake thing... Then men get angry
for
yet another reason that they're always fucking angry at us, and then they become toxic.
I think the problem is blaming women for
not being interested in men.
Not being interested in
any, yeah.
In whatever.
If we hadn't met and we lived in that world, you and I both would be in love with our AI counterparts. We would be.
Wait, you think you were my only choice?
Yeah, we've met, so yeah.
Damn.
Am I wrong?
I don't know.
That's true. Another we don't future. Know what if we hadn't have worked out, what would have followed.
You never know.
But considering what my track record before you was...
Yeah, how hard were you trying?
Honey, I wasn't trying because I was too emotionally locked up with my math teacher.
So, Maggie.
Yes, Caveman.
I have two questions for you.
Hit it.
What'd you do to the droid?
What'd you do to the Falcon?
Falcon's in a lot better shape than he is.
BB-8's not on fire.
What's left of him isn't on fire.
Oh, I needed that. I love him so much. I love... It's so weird that in the sequels, our three main characters are only really together in the last movie, like all three of them. But I love the Poe-Rey dynamic of just being really fucking snarky with each other. Like, they are siblings. They are siblings and they're both somehow dating Finn. And, but they are just so fun together in that they're always kind of bickering. Yeah. And Poe is such a bitch in the third one.
He is such a bitch
A bitch. And I'm sort of like, come on, guys. He was literally the nicest person in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And you made him a little bitch in the third one, but he's just a tired old man. He just wants his boyfriend. It's been a long war. He just wants to be with Finn, and he can't until this whole fucking thing's over with.
Yeah.
And his droid that he's had forever, who's his best friend and little buddy, is starting to like somebody else a bit more now. And I think it pisses him off a little bit. And I love that. And I want to hear the quote again, please.
What'd you do to the droid?
What'd you do to the Falcon?
Falcon's in a lot better shape than he is.
BB-8's not on fire.
What's left of him isn't on fire.
What's left of him is not on fire.
His relationship with BB-8 is actually so pure because he actually gets down to BB-8's level to talk to him, which means that he talks to him on the same level instead of like lording over him. He's not in charge. He does not own BB-8. BB-8 is just with him. And I love their friendship, and it's very pure.
Would the presence of Oscar Isaac have made the movie Her better?
Yeah, I would have enjoyed it a bit more. Oh, a lot more, because at least I was watching an actor that I cared for more than the actors in this film. Fight me.
So, Maggie, which role would you have had Oscar Isaac play?
That's really tough, because, like, you could easily do just a straight cross of, you know, take Joaquin Phoenix out and put Oscar Isaac in. But I don't think it would have made me like the character anymore. Because I still just don't like fucking 2010 hipster pussies. So he would have been a good Charles. He would have been a very good Charles. He could have played Samantha. I think that it would have been a pretty groundbreaking role. Because again, if I had an AI that fell in love with me that sounded like him.
Well, sure, yeah. If I had phone that sounded like Oscar Isaac, who was saying sweet nothings to me.
Yeah, you're going to fall in love with him too.
Oh my God, this.
Yeah.
I'm in love with my phone.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a couple of options. But yeah, I would have enjoyed it a lot more had he been in it. Sure. And that has been this week's episode of Movie Mingle on Her.
Her?
I know there's no question mark in it, but I can't not say it like that. And we hope that you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. Some episodes are a bit rowdier than others, folks, and that's this one, I guess. But, you know, it's fine. Because next week we will be watching Coraline, which actually I don't know is a movie that we're going to agree on or not. It is a beloved of several of my friends, but I only ever saw it once, and I remember it being fun and spooky. But I don't know how I'll feel about it now, so I guess that remains to be seen next week. Until then, you can find us on Instagram, Threads, and Letterboxd at Movie Mingle Pod. You can find us on Google. Nope, not Google. You can find us on Google at Movie Mingle. But you can find us on YouTube at Movie Mingle Podcast. And you can write us at moviemingle@gmail.com with all your questions, thoughts, comments, and concerns, and about whether or not you were ever that type of person that got the fancy old mustache tattooed on your fucking finger, you dweeb. As ever, thank you for listening to us, even if I did call you a dweeb. And feel free to rate us 5 stars or whatever you feel we deserve on your podcast platform of choice, and tell your friends about us, because why not? We want you to. Please do it. Please, we're begging you. Tell your friends. Until then, take care of yourselves in this big, wide, goofy world of ours. Be nice to each other. And, you know, turn your phone off. Go touch some grass. And until then, go mingle. Bye!
Are you an effective team?
We are an effective team.
Let them fight.
How did you just do that?
I'm a really good lawyer.
Here on Caladan, we've ruled by air power and sea power. On Arrakis, we need to cultivate desert power.
Welcome, Mr. Beach. What's that bar? I'm a little confused.
Well, we wouldn't want that, would we?
I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you. What is that?
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Toga. 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 Toga.